In Chinese medicine, we say a woman is 10 times harder to heal than a man.
Wow.
Because our reproductive, and that is 100% true. I mean, 100% true, because our reproductive system is biologically expensive, very biologically expensive. You know, running that system is an absolute gift and it's a joy, but it also takes a really big toll on us and our culture and our society. Really, there's no allowances for this.
Hi, friends. Welcome to the Medicine Stories podcast, where we are remembering what it is to be human upon the earth. I am Amber Magnolia Hill. Today, I'm talking to my good friend and now three-time guest, Dr. Susie Hazen. Susie and I talk about women's bodies and the essence of the human energy system. We had a similar conversation a year ago, although a year ago we were both in the depths of energy crash hell, that we released an episode then, episode 103, called Midlife Burnout for Women and Why Healing Work Can Make Us Worse. And so this is a follow-up. This is how we have regained our metabolic health over the last year, what we've learned. Neither of us are experts or scientists, although Susie does have a doctorate in traditional Chinese medicine. So this conversation is us sharing our personal stories and what has worked, what has brought the healing, and what we've learned, because we know that there are just countless other women and humans going through metabolic dysfunction. As Susie says in the episode, 90% of Americans are metabolically unwell. I was recently listening to a podcast episode with two people, experts in the metabolic space, and one of them is a woman who has like a women's, I think it's just a Facebook group that she's been running for 10 years now. And she was saying at the beginning, there were no women under 35 who came into her space with metabolic unwellness, energy crashes, hormone problems. And now she's getting women in their early 20s and moms my age coming in to ask about their teenage daughters. And the male nurse that she was interviewing, said that he's noticing the same thing in his nursing life, that this metabolic dysfunction is happening in younger and younger people. It still happens unevenly in the female body, for sure, as you heard Susie say in that opening quote, and we'll get into that more in this episode. I want you to know that we are still having our Mythic Medicinals Herbal Oils springtime sale. So all oils are 20% off already on the website. You can use coupon code SANCTUARY as a listener to get an extra 15% off that number for our St. John's Wort oil. And there's a Patreon offering. It is kind of like an episode because it is an audio recording of me talking further about specifically thyroid and my 25 years of thyroid health, hypothyroidism, diagnosis at 17, and then it getting much, much, much worse a year or so ago. And the supplement I'm taking to help me that I mentioned to Susie here, this Patreon offering is not going to be behind a paywall because I think this information can be so helpful for so many people. But I really hope that you will listen to the recording to get a fuller picture of the supplement, how it works, and things to be aware of. Like, you know, the thyroid, it's sensitive, it's extremely important. It can get off balance somewhat easily, it seems to me. So you need to just know a few basic things before you start supplementing in any way, I would say. Susie does start cutting out a little bit about partway through this, but then I tell her and she moves again. And so it stops, just in case you're really bothered by weird auditory stimuli. And There's also going to be an outro at the end where I'm going to give you some information about a Zoom call that Susie and I will be hosting coming up here in early April. The only reason I'm doing that in an outro is because she hasn't gotten back to me at the time of recording this intro. And so I'm not sure what the exact date is going to be. So listen to the end if you're interested in getting on Zoom and chatting with me and Susie. Okay, thank you so much for listening. Show notes are below with all the links you could possibly want. And maybe we'll see you on Zoom. Maybe we'll see you at the Medicine Stories Retreat this August. Hello to my good friend, Susie. Welcome back to the podcast.
Hello, Amber.
I'm really glad you texted me 8 minutes ago asking if I was going to send you a Zoom link because, you know, I've been ready for this call all week, all day, all hour, except I got caught up in the last half hour. So you texted me just in time to make myself a cup of chai and send you the Zoom link 1 minute late.
Excellent. Oh, chai sounds good today. That sounds really good.
Yeah. Are you feeling ready to be snowed in for the next couple of days?
I think so. I mean, it kind of sounds like a dream come true, to be honest.
So I am feeling I'm feeling so strangely emotionally triggered by it because of
last year.
I hate that word triggered, but that's what's, I'm like, oh my gosh, what is this emotion in me that I cannot logic my way out of? Yes, it's because last year at this time we had a huge snowstorm up here just because of where our house is and the fact that we don't have all-wheel drive and the pitch of the roads coming to us and that one of them are not paved. We were snowed in for 2 weeks. You did come and rescue me. I hiked down to meet you. Road nearby, and you took me to the store. But this is such good timing because what I really want to talk about with you today is catching up on our last episode together. Was that 104, I think? Because it's been a year since we talked then, and what our health crashes, our metabolic, energetic exhaustions that we've both been through. And for me, it was like the first day of the 2 weeks of being snowed in that I got labs back showing that my thyroid was almost non-functional.
Wow.
And I spent the next 2 weeks, it was like getting that external reflection of how exhausted I had been for so long, but had been powering through. I always say I was living on cortisol and caffeine, but having that external reflection given to me was like, I felt the exhaustion for the first time. And I felt like I had been hit with a ton of bricks that whole 2 weeks. It was just, I was so tired. And, you know, we lost power. And so it was like, I mean, it wasn't really a survival struggle. We were in a house, we have a wood stove, but you know, it was a really hard time for me. And it was exactly a year ago, this day that we're talking, these weeks. And I'm excited to catch up with you today on the progress we've made and what we have left to hopefully heal as midlife women in severe burnout.
Wow. Yeah. You know, reflecting on that time, I mean, that's why it's always cool to like journal or, I don't know, look back at your Google photos or whatever, because it's amazing how much happens in a year. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like this time last year, I was struggling to get out of bed. I was laying on the couch for 6 to 8 hours a day, which is insane. I was not even cooking. I wasn't able to cook meals for my family. I was just barely grasping onto the absolute minimum to get by every day. Right now, my laundry is folded. My business is up 20% from this time last year. I have a meal prep in my fridge, and I even just did a painting. Okay.
Wow. You painted.
Yes. Yes. Did you know that I like doing art? There's so many things I don't even share, but anyways, yeah, I've got to show you this painting. It's of a goat, obviously. you know, not to say that we still don't have a long way to go, but we have, you know, we're both actually like enjoying our lives and kind of a little bit ahead of the curve right now and excited for the future. Whereas I feel like this time last year, we were both just like slogging through every day with a sense of just every little thing being a challenge, because at a metabolic level, our cells were not really transfusing electrons to, in a nutshell.
In a nutshell, and as we have said to each other so many times in this last year, like we've been friends for 15, 16 years now, and I am so grateful. It's amazing luck to have a friend who has gone through the exact same thing at the exact same time.
It's crazy. Because nobody gets it, and we don't want them to get it because we don't want them to have to know what this is like. But we've been able to support each other. So,
and we've been able to support actually at least one other friend as she sort of came into the same metabolic state over the last year, or the same realization and the same, you know, labs, HTMA, hair tissue mineral analysis, reflecting how depleted she is too. And so I want to touch on, and again, you can go back and listen to that episode. I'm pretty sure it's 104, which is kind of crazy because this is 110. So that means I only did 6 episodes in a year, where before that I was doing so many every year, I think 20 a year. That this truly is a fatigue is not psychological, mental, emotional. Mm. It is, but it is physiological as well. Yeah. I feel like this is something that is very misunderstood. And actually, likewise, I always remember you saying to me just a few months ago, because you and I have both gained very many weights in this last year. you
yeah,
said,
we're not going to say the number because we don't want to break everybody's devices. Okay.
You said, you know, I genuinely thought that fat people were like eating too much food and not mm-hmm. moving their bodies enough. And I did too. Yeah. I really thought it was calories in, calories out. I did not understand that it has everything to do with your metabolic rate and the health of your cells and their ability to generate energy based on inputs such as food, water, and sunlight.
Yes. I mean, this is, we have learned and grown mentally as well as physically so much in this experience. And I will say, especially now that we are healing and we're getting better and we can look back at where we were, we have become like our compassion and our knowledge of human health has like skyrocketed. And we would not have been able to get this understanding without having gone to this really dark place. And I'm grateful for it because, you know, we're both, this is our passion is humans. And yeah, we kind of were on a need to know basis here.
Mm-hmm. Right. We've both been interested in optimal human health since mm-hmm. our 20s. Mm-hmm. You have a doctorate in Chinese medicine. And ironically, yeah, unfortunately, tragically, it was that. Yeah. Actual focus on quote optimal health that definitely led to our downfall.
You know, I think to me, the biggest missing piece was that not being able to recognize when I was in this chronic sympathetic fight or flight state and recognizing that is unsustainable for my body. It was just like, okay, just push through another day. You'll get sleep tonight and just push through another day tomorrow. That was the piece that I really wish I had known earlier. And also just all the mental wrangling with orthorexia, basically, like how toxic has that been for us?
Right. So this focus on optimal health led us both to, so orthorexia is like disordered eating based on trying to be super healthy.
And an unhealthy focus on healthy eating.
There you go. An unhealthy focus on healthy eating. Yeah. And for me, cycling through in my, since I was 12, vegetarianism, veganism, and then later, like in my late 30s, you know, very much leading right up to this crash, keto and a lot of fasting.
Mm. Oh yeah, the fasting. God, I almost forgot.
Yeah,
which it's like it was so doing. Bad. Yes, I was fasting too. Jesus, it's like my brain wants to blank it out because I cannot even believe I would do that to myself at this point. But yet, 3 years ago, I was aggressively like, "This is what I need to do right now."
Yep. Yeah. But now we know that fasting, there's so much science, is not suited for female physiology.
Yeah. Especially in our, say, the later half of our reproductive years when our body is just trying to produce those eggs every month in the hope that we'll make one or two or three more children, you know?
Right.
Yeah. It's okay. So sometimes I see someone who's fasting and they're maybe doing like one or two days a month and they're combining it with they're already healthy and vibrant, and they're combining it with like, this is my spiritual rest day or something like that. Mm-hmm. I could see that. Okay. I'm still not going to do that because that wouldn't be appropriate for me, but that I could see, you know, anything more than that. I just can't, I don't know. I mean, it's for everyone to decide, but I would never recommend it.
No, absolutely not. I really see it as kind of the straw that broke the camel's back for me. I don't know. I guess I could probably say a few different things were that depending on what I'm reflecting on that day. But, you know, we know that metabolically, the body is going to try to compensate for long periods without food at some point. And again, like studies have borne this out. And so even though when I was fasting, I thought I felt great, for me, it really was like a reset space, you know, like a hollowing out. I liked that word hollowing out, but not in a bad way, like in a sacred way. Getting rid of the thing that really stuck in my mind was this idea that digestion takes up so much of your body's energy that when your body does not need to digest, it can go and start cleaning things up. This is before everyone was talking about apoptosis and things like that.
It's like a very attractive, seductive idea, isn't it?
That makes sense. Well, I just didn't widen my lens enough to ask, well, what then are going to be the long-term negative consequences of this, though? And then you feel really good usually when you're fasting, once you get through like the hard days, because you're running on pure cortisol because your body's where's the food happening?
Yes. And when you're running on cortisol, you're in this almost like elevated, like hyper-focused. You feel like, you know, that scene in The Matrix where Neo is like deflecting the bullets. Like you feel like that because your body is basically just like dumping endogenous drugs into your system to keep you functioning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know. If we could, well, but the thing was at the time both of us were maybe dealing with being maybe about, I don't know, 15, 20 pounds overweight, right? We wanted to change that. And we thought fasting was the thing that was going to help us do that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that was one reason.
Uh-huh.
I really felt like I loved the spaciousness that it brought into my life. And
Stephen.
Yeah, the herbalist Stephen Herod Buhner, who I interviewed on episode 8, has now passed away. He has all these amazing herb books, right? People don't know he has a book on fasting too. And he focuses on the physical, emotional, and spiritual aspects of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, so like it's real, the sort of spiritual renewal that can happen and the reflecting on your life. But there are other ways to get there.
Well, and I think, you know, that's the piece that's missing is that if you're approaching this from a spiritual point of view, you should be extremely well in your body before you even consider, you know, climbing that spiritual mountain. You know what I mean? It's kind of like when Jordan Peterson says, well, you know, if you want to be a climate activist or something, like clean up your own room first. So I'm thinking that I could see the health benefits of fasting if you are a person who's already in a vibrantly well state of life, maybe not actively engaged in hustling to run a business or, you know, 9-to-5 work or, you
raising
know,
in those young kids,
aggressive childcare years, you know, it just seems like something that's very much more suitable for people in a different life stage than us.
So you have really been focusing a lot of your social media Instagram posts lately on weight gain. And I love the way you're doing it because it's not in sort of those over the top fake body posy ways. You know, you're not trying to be a body positive influencer, which bless them. No.
They are great though. Some of them are so wonderful.
Yeah, no, I have a lot of affection for quite a few of them. But you're, you know, physiologically grounding it in metabolic reality. And you posted one, I think last week, that said a fat body is a de-energized body.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So this is so important. So if there's any other women listening who are overweight right now, just prepare to feel so seen here. Okay. So our bodies are like a yin and a yang, right? So the yang is the activity, the energy, the movement, the transformation, the heat, and the yin is the physical matrix. So the actual bones, the organs, the fat, the skin, the musculature, all that stuff. And we need to have those two things in balance, right? So we want to have a body that's strongly formed with all the appropriate components, but a body that's also in motion, that's breathing, that's moving, that has sharp senses, has a healthy functioning gut, right? So we need this balance of physical matrix and energy. And really what I see now in myself and other people who are struggling with weight is that basically you've overused your energy part. And so now your physical matrix part, it's like almost like a dam has been built on this river, and now the river is filling up into a pond. Does that make sense?
What's the river and the dam and the pond?
Okay. God, this is getting really Chinese medicine sounding here. Okay. So imagine your body is supposed to be a river and it's just supposed to flow, right? And when the river carries all the silt and the sand and the little branches, and it just keeps moving and it's beautiful and you can walk down to the shore and everything's good. But then what if the river gets really sluggish one year and then all this silt and rocks and dirt build up, and then it builds up into this like yucky stagnant pond?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know if I'm like really, like, I'm not saying I'm like a yucky stagnant pond, but if you imagine the body, it's not, we should have sufficient energy to discharge the inputs that we're putting into our body. But if your body doesn't have sufficient metabolic energy to process stuff, you can gain weight by drinking water.
Right.
Okay. And see, in Chinese medicine and in Japan, for like, if you're in Japan and you're like drinking a big glass of water, literally people will look at you like, oh, they're going to get fat. Okay. Because they already know that. They know that you can actually gain weight by drinking water. Okay. Maybe I just went way overboard.
But, okay. I'm curious, like, how you know that that will happen if you drink water in Japan.
Okay. So if you over drink water, you're stressing out your kidneys because your kidneys have to deal with that, right? Like if you drink water, it doesn't just magically come out of you. It has to go through your gut and then your kidneys have to deal with it. And then they have to pee it out, right? Like that's a whole metabolic process. So if you drink too much water, you are going to exhaust your kidneys over time.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Just out of curiosity, why is that specific to Japan?
The only reason why I'm bringing it up is because Japan is a pretty good example of a country where they actually, well, China, I mean, China's the same way, but a country where they actually really know about human health and they build these habits and traditions just into their day-to-day life.
Mm-hmm.
So you won't
see people been to like both of those countries?
China, yes.
Yeah.
Japan, no. In in Chinese medicine school, our professors were always talking about Japanese women this, Japanese women that, because I guess even in China, Japanese women are seen as an example of beauty and health and so on and such like.
Yeah, so this makes total sense to me. And it's kind of, you know, what we were saying just a little bit ago at the beginning, too, of how we really did not understand how basic cellular metabolism works until ours broke. Once your energy producing system is broken, once your body has been de-energized, as you said, I don't even know if it's possible to not gain weight at that point if you're going to continue to eat food and drink water.
Yeah. But if you decide, like we did, oh, my weight is creeping up. Uh-oh, I'm going to fast. Well, now you shut down your metabolism even more.
Right.
Right. I gained weight while fasting.
Mm-hmm. And same thing with women who overexercise, how am I not losing? How am I gaining weight when I'm overexercising? It's because you are further breaking your metabolism and de-energizing your body.
Exactly. Yes. So that's why we're choosing this path now, which is actually very aligned with what Japanese women do, which is 3 healthy meals a day, foods that are easy and healthy to digest, and exercise that is fun, gentle, invigorating, but you know, you're not like throwing sandbags over a wall, you know, you're walking, you're stretching, you're light, you know, like natural, feminine, fun movement, the gentle path.
Yeah. And one thing that we have had to do, even though we both have gained very much weight in the last year and a half, is we knew we can't go crazy trying to lose this weight. We're going to hurt ourselves more. We're going to further de-energize our bodies. And so we know that we are playing the long game and that it is a slow road to regaining metabolic wellness. Not that there can't be amazing quantum leaps in there, but it took us many, many years to completely deplete our minerals, adrenals, thyroid, and it's going to take time to repair. And weight loss, if it happens, is not going to be one of the first things that happens in that process.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you just have to think of like kind of a Maslow's, is it Maslow or Maslov? The hierarchy of needs?
Maslow.
Yeah. And so if you think of what your body's hierarchy of needs is, we're talking about like energy, eyesight, brain function, gut motility, hormones, and other stuff is going to come after that, right? So the weight loss is one of those things that may be the icing on the cake of recovering a healthy metabolism and healthy hormones.
Mm-hmm. I want to say here too, I probably said it in our interview last year, that for people who haven't listened to other previous interviews as well, or been like really tuned into this metabolism question that seems to be pretty hot right now in the culture for women our age, at least, is that metabolism is not just how quickly you burn calories. Really, that was my mom's understanding of metabolism in the 80s and 90s. You know, she wanted a good metabolism so she could stay skinny. It is literally how every cell in your body creates energy with the inputs you have given it. It's so much bigger than weight loss, or weight gain, but those are going to be downstream effects of how well or not your metabolism is functioning.
Oh, yeah. It's like your inner fire, and that inner fire is going to be, I mean, it's about how you process life, right? And that's includes, you know, food is just one part of it. That also includes how you metabolize life experiences and how you interact with other people, just how you walk through the world. It's a really beautiful thing, and it's big. I mean, it's just kind of how you carry yourself, honestly, at the end of the day.
Yeah. It is big. I'm going to link to that book, Energy, from the 80s that we've both read. It was like, it's not even really a book. It was like a newsletter that these two brothers had put together, this health newsletter, and they, you know, would send it out to their subscribers, old school, real, before the internet and email newsletter. But they wrote this incredible book, and it's called Energy. And it's about what we're talking about and what happens when your energy creating system in your body gets broken. And even just reading the first few pages, like you said, you know, women who are listening who might have gained weight, get ready to feel seen. The first few pages of that book make me feel so seen. And this is why you make content about this. This is why we've talked about this on this podcast, is it is happening to more and more people every day. I see it all over the internet. You know, I had a recent guest on, Sarah Ramey, talking about chronic disease and how our generation of mostly women are like pioneering chronic disease because of various things that we talk about in that episode. But, you know, metabolic dysfunction is a first step on that path. And it's just happening to so many women around our age. You and I are both 43 right now for the next 3 weeks until your birthday.
Yeah. It's, you know, we're carrying a burden of multiple generations. Now, I guess we're looking at 3 generations of processed foods, baby formula, women being kind of shunted out into the workforce as opposed to being able to be home and caring for themselves and their children. And that's just the tip of the iceberg of kind of what we are dealing with metabolically. So yeah, and you know, in Chinese medicine, we say a woman is 10 times harder to heal than a man.
Wow.
Because our reproductive, and that is 100% true. I mean, 100% true, because our reproductive system is biologically expensive, very biologically expensive. You know, running that system is an absolute gift and it's a joy, but it also takes a really big toll on us and our culture and our society. Really, there's no allowances for this. Oh, here's another Japan thing. In Japan, women get 1 day a month off for their period. Okay. Mm. Paid.
Mm.
Yep, that's a thing.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, I just think women, we need to have, no one's going to do this for us. You know, we have to recognize this in ourselves and do everything we can to, you know, hold ourselves softly in this and advocate for ourselves within our relationships and within our communities of friends and family, because no government or employer necessarily is going to suddenly say, oh, okay, you've got, you know, paid leave for 2 years and you've got a day off every month for your period. You know, we're not, this has got to come from the inside out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just, you know, you talking about all that, I'm just reflecting on how it's no individual woman's fault when she develops metabolic illness, chronic illness. It is all a reflection of the broken culture and really sick society that we were born into.
It is. And it is just, it's so much bigger than you as an individual. And that's something that gets my goat a little bit about some of the wellness space or whatever, where, you know, it's all about the individual and your personal choices. And, you know, those are important as well, but we live as part of a group consciousness and we're so tied into each other so much more than we could even imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a beautiful thing. Really. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Especially as mothers too, you know, once you birth the child, I'm picturing sort of like mycelial connections, just threads, you know, like threads through the ethers to not only your children, but all of life on the planet. Just you really become so much more sensitive to that reality.
Yeah. I mean, I could say this with 100% sincerity. Like, I feel like the human race are all my children. I'm not even exaggerating that, you know. Mm-hmm. If I could just help and care for everyone, I would.
Yeah,
but, you know, we have our little ways that we can, and they're powerful.
One of the hardest things for me with this has been how I just got so fucking sick of focusing on my own healing journey, you know. Oh, like I feel so like self-centered but like I did not have energy to put elsewhere. And what, yeah. when you are that unwell, you have like your, yes, your first focus is going to be getting better so that you can regain your energy and like be a functioning person in the world again, who can better take care of others.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's, you know, I think as women, and I'm sure men can relate to this too, like when we're thriving, we want to be out there in the community, participating and helping others and, you know, being part of this like web of community. But if we're not well, this is, you know, this is time to just say no. And you can't do that anymore. And you can't feel guilty that you can't do that either, because it's not for you to do anymore. You have to just focus on, you do have to micro focus on yourself. And it can feel myopic. Mm-hmm. So that's hard.
Mm-hmm. It is. Well, in the most recent episode too, with my teacher, Cammie McBride, we talked about like kind of self-care burnout, you know, that phrase was really exciting like 10 years ago or something, because it's not something we had ever been told to focus on or like given permission to do. But now it's kind of like, oh God, like endless self-care content. And but what are you going to do? Not take care of yourself? No.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that does bring to mind in some of my absolute darkest moments over the last, you know, year or 2 years that I've been going through this, I would just be, you know, sitting at my kitchen table or laying down on my couch, and just my mind is going to all these tasks that I don't have the energy to do. And I would just have to think, what is the smallest thing that I could do to take care of myself right now? Whether it was drink some water or go pee or warm myself up a hot dog on my stove because I can't cook, you know? And I just, that kind of micro thinking did help me. But you know, you're not even thinking about like a sauna or something at that point.
Mm. Okay, it was episode 103 that you were on last year, not 104. 104 was Sarah Kleiner, who you introduced me to, and this you know, sort of circadian rhythm reset has been, I know, a really important part of both your and my recovery. Yeah. I want to talk about, I know we both feel like we've turned a lot of corners in this last year on our healing journeys. I cannot say that in my voice without air quotes. But I have turned a real corner in the last like 3 or 4 weeks. And one of the main manifestations of that is that I'm journaling like crazy, and which has always been a huge part of my life since middle school. You know, journaling is how I make sense of what has happened and conceptualize what needs to happen. And I just haven't barely been doing that over the last year. But I wrote about like my wins, where I was at a year ago versus where I'm at now, what's changed, and then what I still want to change. What in a year from now, what I want to be saying, this finally changed too. So for you, what have been like your wins since a year ago? What has changed in your body, mind, life?
Wow. Oh, so much. Okay. So I made some really good choices for myself. I chose to enroll my kids who were homeschooled in an outdoor school. And that just gave me time and space to focus on myself, which I really needed. And it was also a healthier choice for them because they're just getting such a rich experience there. That was, you know, they were entering into that age where being at home just was not as rich for them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that.
They are loving it so much. My daughter goes to that outdoor school once a week today on Fridays. And I love seeing your boys there when I drop her off. They're just in their element.
It's an amazing school. I mean, I would like bow down and like wash the feet of the teachers with my hair if that was an option. Let's see. Okay. I've done that. I've done a massive decluttering of my house, which I'm kind of always doing, but feels really good. I'm able to take walks now, like 45 minute walks, without worrying if that's going to like tank the rest of my day. I'm aggressively like cooking and meal prepping for my family, and everyone has food to eat again, which is amazing because it's hard to be happy when you don't even know what's for dinner every day.
Aggressively meal preppy.
I mean, I'm telling you, it's a sport. And that is the gift of this experience, is just recognizing how much energy it takes to physically cook and prepare food. And, you know, those of us that are doing that for our families, like, we need to give ourselves a big old pat on the back, because it's a big job.
Yeah. Huge mental load as well as physical.
Yes. But when you're doing the meal prepping, you kind of take the mental load away, because you kind of always have this sort of cycle of yummy stuff in the fridge that can be rewarmed or added to something else. You know, it's uh-huh. really fun.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I could honestly like keep going on, but maybe I should stop there. Oh, and my plantar fasciitis is basically better. And that was a nightmare, man, living with severe foot pain, which was one of the things that had come up for me in this burnout state. I mean, wow. But that's almost better now.
Yeah, I was just going to ask. So I've had like a lot of symptoms during this period that have gotten better. But yeah, is that your only symptom besides, you know, lack of energy and weight gain?
I also had constipation, which had come on really badly after the fasting. That was why I realized I had to stop fasting, because I basically slowed my metabolism down so much to the point that it like stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me a couple years to get back into a nice daily rhythm again. So, yeah. So if anyone out there has never been constipated before, yay for you.
And what else would you like to see happen? In a year from now, what do you hope you're saying has changed since today?
Oh, well, I would definitely love to come back to my normal body size. I would love to just experience a greater mental executive function, just as far as like planning things for my business and planning trips for my family. Just, you know, that ability to like execute a complex plan.
I do.
I'd like to see an improvement in that. You know, just experiencing myself as being more of like a fun, playful person, as opposed to sort of a tired, bedraggled person.
Yeah.
So what about you? Are you going to get into yours now?
Yeah. I've had extreme sleep issues since my metabolism broke. It kind of blows my mind that you've slept super well this whole time.
Because
it seems so deeply intertwined with everything else that's happened. And I think the main reason is blood sugar issues.
Yeah.
Which are deep-seated and take a long time to reverse. That my blood sugar crashes, gets really low while I'm sleeping, and I wake up very hungry. And just a slice of raw cheese is all I need. It's not like a hunger of the belly. You know, I don't need to like fill my belly up. I just need to get some food into my body to calm that down. And well, I think my thyroid function is worse than yours though, or was, right? Because we both had tests last spring. But
Amber, you've been through more than me, because I've had my own self-harming stuff. And I did have my incident where my mom was in an accident, but the losses that you have had with your mom, your dad, your grandma, and your sister's husband getting hurt and moving, and like you've been through more than me.
Yeah. Loss and grief is such a huge part of it for me. And I think for so many people, those things can't be healed. You know, you can feel better or over time and come to maybe some sort of peace with it that wasn't there in the very beginning, but those people aren't coming back. And when they're lost in really traumatic ways too, that's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
So a year ago at this time, I tried to take desiccated bovine thyroid, and I've been working with Nisia Nelson, who was my guest on episode 100 of this podcast. She has a really incredible online course that she has since put up called Eat to Go Deep that I can link to below, because she's not doing one-on-one client work anymore. I was very lucky to get her last one-on-one client spot a year ago, and to have someone oh gosh, knowledgeable, guide me through this. I can't even imagine where I'd be if I didn't have her mentorship. But I started taking this desiccated bovine thyroid, but she told me really pay attention because probably actually going to feel worse and have worse energy because you do not have the minerals you need to support the thyroid ramping up. It's like pressing on the gas pedal with no gas in the tank. And that's exactly what happened. I didn't think I could be any more exhausted at that point. And I got more exhausted taking the thyroid. And so we've just been watching my HTMAs over the last year, hair tissue mineral analysis, every couple months to see where my mineral levels are at. And I started taking this desiccated bovine thyroid about 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And it has immediately made the hugest difference in my life. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my God. And we knew it would, you know, we knew it would, but we also knew I had to be ready. So this is kind of going back to the decision you and I have had to make, or the reality that we've had to face, that we can't rush this. And, you know, if I had gone to like a mainstream doctor and gotten those thyroid labs back, they would have put me on Synthroid or something, which I was put on when I was 17. And I mean, I probably would have felt better immediately, but I think there would have been long-term damage done and more depletion, right? More depletion at a mineral cellular level, even though I could have felt better faster for temporarily.
Maybe, although who knows, you might not have too, because remember Sarah Kleiner's experience going on thyroid? She didn't even feel better, but she also, and then she also couldn't sleep at night. So it didn't, you know,
It's a sensitive thing is what I should say, thyroid and thyroid supplementation. But I am recovered enough now that my body is loving the thyroid. And so the first thing that happened is I started walking a ton and journaling again, like within a few days of starting to take it. I was craving journaling and walking, and I'm doing them multiple times a day. And just, oh my gosh, the mental clarity to be able to journal, to be able to have even the like desire to express myself only to myself.
Yeah.
And then, so I was taking it every other day just to sort of gauge how my body was going to do. And an interesting thing too is that since I've been working with her, I've been cycle charting, like actually, you know, taking my temperature every morning and real cycle charting, which I've just kind of dabbled in the past. On the mornings after I took the thyroid, my temperature would be high. On the mornings after I did not take the thyroid, my temperature would be low. So it was a very clear indication that my body liked taking the thyroid. You know, you want high temperature or, you know, normal, but higher in the range. And so I started taking it every day just a couple days ago and slept through the night last night.
Wow.
For the first time in at least a year, probably longer.
Wow.
Huge. Also, my like body pain is mostly gone because I realized that I had gallbladder and liver issues that was causing this right side pain that I have been talking about on this podcast for 7 years now. It was all radiating out from the liver and gallbladder. So now that that's being addressed and I've stopped eating gluten, symptom wise, my right side pain is mostly gone. It does flare sometimes, but what I still want is better sleep, which maybe that's starting to happen now, and eventually to get back to my healthy body size as well.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That makes me so happy to hear that, Amber.
Thank you. Thank you. And you've been working with Sina Maria. Is it Maria or Maria?
Yes. I've been working with Sina, who is a acolyte, would you say, or a student of Nisia, a mentee. Is that the word?
Yeah, I think, you know, they've both done programs online and gotten certain certifications. And I would say that it seems like Nisia is also mentoring Sina.
I mean, I feel like for us, there's been kind of like, would you say sort of four pillars of recovery, maybe one being the recognition of the role of stress and overwork, two being the circadian rhythm, the quantum healing, three being the eating food part, and four being the mineral nutritional balancing.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound about right?
Yeah, I feel like last year we named three, and one was circadian rhythm, one was mineral balancing program that we've both been on through these women who are mentoring us. But I don't remember what three was. I don't think it was either of those, but of course, these
probably eating numbers.
Yeah. Maybe. But the stress, that was something that has taken me a long time to acknowledge how those consequences are. It's everything. It's the foundational piece of all of this.
It is. And I remember when I was in the circling the drain stage of burnout, when I actually still had energy, but my energy was kind of chaotic and stressed out. Mm-hmm. I remember the
body's last ditch effort to keep itself going. And you can see this in HTMA. You know, if you're working with someone who really knows what they're doing, they'll say, Oh, you're about to crash. I can tell by where your minerals are that you are in the, I think it's called the alarm stage of stress.
Alarm stage. Yeah. Yeah. And I remember being in that stage, and I remember hearing messaging either just from the wellness space or potentially even from friends or loved ones. Honestly, I don't remember because I was so in a sympathetic state at that time. But I remember people saying or just hearing okay, the role of stress in your health, the role of stress, you need to address your stress. And I just remember thinking that is such an absolute joke. How could I? I have so much to do.
Yeah.
How could I? Right. And now I look back on that and I just think, oh my goodness, how naive I was. Because if I had known the harm that was going to befall me, I would have taken that more seriously. And I just thought I could handle it, and I have to handle it, you know?
Absolutely. Exactly the same. Mm-hmm. I'd be go fuck yourself, my life and unstress. I'm so sure. I felt the exact same way. Did not see any possible way that I could de-stress my life. So I didn't slow down. I did not do anything that I should have done then. And actually can see this on my first HTMA from 2022. When I look back on it now, so this was less than a year before my crash, I was in the alarm stage of stress. My body was trying very hard to keep me going, but it was not good. And then my body stopped me for me. Then you're really fucked, because then you have no energy. You think it's not worth it. So actually, too, one of the things going on with my thyroid is that I had extremely high reverse T3. What that means is that my body is making enough T3 to put energy into my cells, but then my own body is thwarting that process and stopping the T3 from getting into the cells. And so I'm just trying to understand this a year ago. I'm like, why would my own body stop me from being energized? And I remember Nisia said, who else has really high levels of T3 are hibernating bears. And it was my body's attempt to be stop.
Stop. Yeah.
If we don't de-stress when we still have energy, our energy will be taken from us in order to force us to stop.
It will be. It's like being robbed at gunpoint. It's like, you're done now. I just think of how sick I was during that time. And I remember thinking thank God I'm self-employed right now, because I have this business running and I can still, I have employees working for me. I can run this thing in my pajamas and I can still have an income, which is totally essential to my family. And if I had had to get up and be presentable and show up at a job, I wouldn't have been able to do it at that point. And that was so scary. So I just, oh man, my heart just goes out to other people dealing with that might not have that luxury,
Absolutely. I thought about that all the time.
So sorry.
Yeah, I've thought about that so many times through this whole process. And my income actually did go significantly down last year because I did not have the energy to market, to again be putting out podcasts, to like do any of the things that helped build my business in the previous years when I was running it off cortisol and caffeine.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, my heart just goes out to women dealing with extreme fatigue and, you know, because there's women who are worse than we were, who are still dragging themselves into the hospital to work as nurses or into the office to work as a secretary or, you know, onto the floor of a grocery store to be the checker. And I just, I mean, my heart goes out to you and to them. It's just, life is just what's crazy sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But there's hope. There is hope.
There is. And again, I just feel like there are so many women going through this now who have gone on to help other women. And there's just a lot of information and conversation about it. And your Instagram feed is one of those places. So we'll be sure to link to that and to the two women that we've mentioned who have helped us.
Yeah, Sarah Kuhner. I mean, the circadian rhythm thing is one of my favorite things to share with people because that is 100% free. And I'm such a fan of stuff that's free because sometimes it's just not accessible to do something that's not free. But think about it, you know, bringing in your body's energy to the biggest energy source on Earth, which is the sun. And that was what allowed me to start crawling out of this. And for some people, that's all you need.
Mm-hmm. I love this woman too on Instagram, the psychotherapist, Jenna Hamm, Felt Sense Psychotherapy. She pulled herself out of a very, very bad health spiral having to do with stress and mold toxicity. She attempted suicide at one point just a few years ago with a little child. She's really, you know, open about her whole process, but she healed herself pretty much for free. She did take some supplements, but really with like, again, she's a psychotherapist. So nervous system attending, being outside all the time. And she talks about this on her Instagram a lot. So we'll put a link to her too, of like doing it outside of sort of this model that we've been fed that it's going to cost a ton of money and a ton of time to really like reset your body back to a healthy.
That is amazing. You know, and that's something in the energy book. I hope if anyone's listening to this podcast, they will check out the book. We're going to link that book. He talks about how suicidality is basically just the inner feeling of your exhausted cells sending a message to your brain, like, we don't want to do this anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really what it is. And we look at as a psychological thing, it's a psychological manifestation of a energy metabolic state. And I attempted suicide when I was a teen, and I have dealt with passive suicidal ideation on and off throughout my life. And learning that just really set me free. It was like, oh, well, of course I didn't want to be anymore when everything is hard.
Mm-hmm. You know. By the way, Susie and I live like, what, 3 or 4 miles apart?
It's a godsend.
Yeah, it is.
Be there with broth at the drop of a hat.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you are such a good caretaker and giver, and I'm so grateful to you. And, you know, something I think really talked about on this podcast at all is how this happens to children too. And so I'm remembering the day, it was like a week after our last interview together came out last April, when I got my daughter Nixie's HTMA results, and they were bad and they mirrored mine. And just seeing what I had done to her through not having good nutritional stores when I was pregnant with her, I was so stressed when I was pregnant with her. There was, and I didn't want to drink coffee because I thought that would be like bad for my baby. So there was a point during the like second trimester when I ate a chocolate bar every single day. That is how
just to get energy, right?
Yes. Yeah. And so just to give me enough energy to get through my days, I was eating so much chocolate, so much sugar.
Yeah.
And I just didn't
know. That's in the energy book too.
Yes. And, you know, I had been vegan 10 years earlier with her older sister's pregnancy. And even though I stopped that in the first year postpartum, I never really addressed those nutritional deficiencies. So I'm sure going into this pregnancy with her 10 years later, I was very depleted in so many ways and then super stressed out. And that came through into her body. Of course it did. And she had some pretty, she was melting down all the time a year ago, like every single day. She was super anxious. She didn't sleep well at all. She's never slept well. She's always been very sensitive. I've talked about this on this podcast before. I'm sure some people have heard those episodes. And it really blew my mind when I heard someone in the mineral space say that she was convinced that the trait of high sensitivity, although it's real and, you know, it's genetic, but it's made so much worse when people are minerally depleted. So the day I got those results, I spun out so hard. I couldn't get out of bed. I called you or texted you from bed. You came over.
Yes. You were laying in bed. You were sobbing like your heart was going to break. And you were just saying, I can't believe I did this to my own child. And I was trying to assure you that like, this is your fault. She's just part of the compilation of you, and you've done everything. You've been such a good mom, and this is not your fault, but you just had to spiral through darkness for a while before you knew how you wanted to forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, kids' bodies tend to recover faster than adult bodies. So we started her on a mineral balancing program, get her calcium up, among other things. And she is a completely different kid now. And it didn't take a whole year. Yeah. It took like a few months. She never has those meltdowns anymore. She's not living in a state of anxiety. She sleeps much better at night. I just am so fascinated by, you know, the women's, our mineral inheritance that we pass down to our kids, and how, like you were saying earlier, we're like in the third generation now of many cultural societal interventions that have led to such a mineral depleted state in most of us.
Yeah. And we pass down our nervous system pathways the same way as we pass down our eye color or our hair color or our body shape.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't we? Right? Why wouldn't we?
Mm-hmm.
So if, in my case, I also share some similar experiences with my older son. I have lived my whole life in a sympathetic pattern, just being very in a fight or flight state, literally, basically, almost at all times, either fight or flight or exhausted, you know, just kind of alternating between the two. Mm-hmm. So I passed that down to my oldest son, and I saw that in his first HTMA. And God, what a feeling, right? Where you're just like, oh, you know, I wanted things to be better for him. I didn't want this to happen to my kid. But I also feel like if we have the ability to see the problem, we also have the ability to see the solution. I mean, that actually sounds a little bit reductionist, but I guess what I mean is, if our eyes are open enough to see where these challenges or hardships are, I also believe that we'll be able to have the intuition and the wisdom to know what we need to do to help. So yeah, my son has also been on a mineral nutritional balancing program for about the same amount of time as me, I guess. And I am going to get his second test results back soon, but I think it's going to be so much better. And he seems so much better. So it's a really great healing modality. I would recommend it for people to, it is so worth looking into.
It is. You know, the first quote, I opened up this, the energy book, which, you know, is, it's online. It's like an ebook. And the first thing it says is, minerals are the principal energy producing components of the human body. It is the relationships between the minerals in your tissues that help determine your physical and emotional destiny. Through an understanding and control of these basic laws of human energy, you can vastly increase the intensity and quality of your life. So you and I did have a highlight of our year.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we got to go to Costa Rica together for the first Medicine Stories retreat.
Yes. Oh my goodness, Amber. That was, you know, that was such a special trip because we went into it really not playing with a full deck, to be honest. Like we were not at our best. You know, I was worried about stuff with my health. You were worried about stuff with your health, but you knew that you wanted to do it. And we felt really held by Trova Trips, who organized it. And then the women that came on the trip were like the sweetest, most beautiful, most fun, most fascinating, gentle, cool, strong ladies. And we just had an absolutely wonderful time, even being in a somewhat of a debilitated health status. We were just so held.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the whole year leading up to it, I was like, am I going to cancel this trip? You know, because like, I don't feel well. Like, can I handle international travel right now? And I'm so glad I didn't. It was so much better than I thought it was going to be. I mean, I didn't really know what to expect, but
yeah,
I absolutely loved being on a trip where I didn't have to take care of anything. They just told us, show up there, be in the lobby at 8, you know, the bus leaves at that time. And then they would take us to these amazing places and all the good food.
Oh, the food was so good in Costa Rica. Just so fresh, simple, like whole foods, you know? Oh, yeah. And that, you know, okay, here's another thing about Costa Rica. The people there are, by and large, metabolically well. And you can see that in their faces, in the way they carry themselves, just in their energy and their vibration. And that was so cool to be around that because I believe here in America, they estimate about 90% of people are metabolically unwell and about 10% are well.
Yeah.
Whereas I felt like in Costa Rica, it's like the opposite.
Absolutely. And I was in Mexico recently with a Mexican friend who grew up there. And I was telling her, I was like, I'm looking around and I'm seeing the lifestyle and the slower pace of life.
Yeah.
And I'm not seeing metabolically broken people. And she was like, yeah, totally. And she's not metabolically broken, you know, even though she's a woman in her 40s like us and a mother.
Yeah,
and
she's vibrant.
She's so vibrant. She spends half her life here, but she grew up there and she spends time there still.
Yeah.
But we are doing another Medicine Stories retreat this year. Hopefully, we do need a minimum of people to sign up, which hasn't happened yet. But we have time. And so the Trova Trip chooses the destination based on a poll. And probably, I'm sure many people listening took the poll and chose Croatia.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Did you know anything about Croatia before this?
Well, all that I knew was that it was formerly part of the USSR, right? Which just always interests me because I love history and all that kind of stuff. But I didn't know that Croatia is basically like the Eastern Europe, Italy. And I apologize to Europeans who are hearing me talk in such an oversimplified way, but it's right across the Adriatic Sea from Italy. And it's just got a beautiful old world seaside culture that just looks like so fascinating and just so visually spectacular.
Yeah, it's literally on the Mediterranean waters of the Adriatic Sea. And it has these medieval era stone castles.
Buildings and castles. Yeah.
Structures. Oh, God. The second city we're going to, I forget what it's called, but Venetians built it. Mm. And so it looks like Venice, which is one of the most beautiful places.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really special. And I'm really interested to see the people there and what they're like, because they only came out of communist rule in like 1994.
Yeah.
So that's going to be really interesting because that does have, I mean, I'm just always so interested by how history causes, you know, generational trauma or a lack of that. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really interested to see kind of how the people are living there.
Yeah. And I just, I never thought I would go to Croatia. So I feel like there's going to be a lot of unexpectedness. Like last year when my audience chose Costa Rica, I specifically did not really do any research on the exact places we were going because I just wanted to be surprised. I wanted that magic of travel to be intact. Cause usually I'm like planning the trips, you know, I'm like, and then on this day we're doing this and I'm booking all the things and like researching the places. And I really liked just being sort of open to the surprise and enchantment of unexpected newness. The trip is August 21st through 26th, 2024. And of course, down in the show notes, I'll have a link to more information and to book if you're interested. There's still early bird tickets left. It's $100 off as of this recording.
It's going to be special. I mean, it's just the feeling that we got last year with all these women who were coming from diverse backgrounds and ages and lives. And everyone we just kind of instantly became this little tribe. But it wasn't like a weird forced intimacy. I just feel like because everyone is a podcast listener, they just get the vibe that we're coming from, you know?
Yeah, it's sort of an instant unit. It just really flowed so well between all 12 of us.
It did. But there was not, as I said, that we didn't do like corny, like icebreakers or like, you know, there wasn't a feeling of like, oh, now you just have to act a certain way or anything. It really just evolved in a really organic way, which felt really nice because I think none of us want that feeling where you're like suddenly forced to be best friends with people that you don't even know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I don't think anyone was like posting about it while we were there, which I love too. Like no one was there to create content.
No, not at all.
Which I had been kind of worried about.
Like if some kind of big influencer was going to be there just sort of.
No, I guess just when I see people promoting retreats on social media, I so often just see these like young, you know, it's like you're going there to look good and have like beautiful photos to post to show how cool you were on your travels or something.
Sure.
And that was not what I wanted. And that was not what happened at all. You know, the age range on that trip was between 23 and 65.
Yeah. I loved that. I love being a mixed age range of women. That is like my favorite thing.
Yeah. I feel good about myself that my podcast and that first retreat attracted like just super down to earth people, I guess is what I'm reflecting on.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing about your podcast is that you have this way of like, you know, we're talking about like herbalism, mothering, human health, like some pretty gritty topics, but then you're bringing that up to like a mythic, a spiritual, etheric level, but you're doing that without losing the roots that this is actually part of living on the earth in the dirt, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think that does attract a really cool type of person who has that mindset. So that's why I think everyone was so nice.
Mm-hmm. I love what you said too about the last retreat. That was the perfect balance of excitement, travel and making new friends and peace, lots of downtime and personal space. And I specifically wanted to work downtime and personal space into this and not have it be because, you know, we're already like traveling. We changed locations a couple times and every day there's at least one preset activity, sightseeing, something. I can't wait to swim in those waters. But I chose not to teach any workshops, you know, like I just don't want to be in that dynamic of like, and now me, your teacher, will dispense wisdom, you know, it's just a way for us to come together and like share who we genuinely are in a new place with that. There's just nothing like the magic of travel. There's nothing like being somewhere brand new that you'll probably never be again. I have said a few times that I feel like one of the best choices I made in the last year was inviting you to be my companion on that trip because I'm really an introvert and maybe kind of like awkward or just not as warm as you. You are so warm and you make everyone feel so welcome and you are really good at facilitating group interactions in a way that's not at all, like you said, now we'll do an icebreaker. You know, you start interesting conversations and it was amazing to have you by my side.
Oh, thanks, Amber. I mean, I just couldn't think of anything that could make me feel happier than to hear one of my friends say, like, you're a good friend. It's like, wow, that's kind of what I came here for, you know? And yeah, I mean, honestly, you know how sometimes you see those memes where people are like, I hate people. Mm-hmm. I'm like the opposite of that. I'm like, I love people. And, you know, yes, we can be messy and complicated and make bad choices and be dumb and all that. But like, that's who we are. You know, like you don't tell a goat not to climb a fence. So don't tell humans not to be messy and make bad choices. Cause I promise you, we will. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I love people. It was a really, you know, it's a fun way to me, the trip and going like that, it's just like a really, I mean, what a way to kind of like, almost like accelerate personal transformation or shift your energy or just really open yourself up to the next chapter of your life. You know, that's how I felt it was.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, I, you know, for most of my adult life have not traveled between finances and mothering, and just have started to sort of bring it back into my life in the last few years. And it has become a priority for me. I now understand like the people who, and I've always had friends who prioritize travel even without money.
Having much fun. Yeah.
Like Ariella, who was on this podcast recently, I remember when we were younger, I was like, how, I know you don't have any money. How are you there right now? But she just, it was a priority for her. And I now understand why people will, you know, sort of sacrifice other things in order to see other parts of the world in their finite time on earth.
Yeah. Well, it really opens your mind, man, especially for those of us here in America where we just have, we're in this absolutely massive country and we're so far away from other countries. You know, if you're European, yeah, you're going to just hop around to different countries. Like most people just do that. Mm-hmm. But here we have to make it happen.
You know, this is in Europe, but it's so much cheaper than going to like Italy or France or any of the other more common European destinations.
Yes. Yeah, there's a couple. I wonder if it's going to be a little bit similar to Portugal in a way, because Portugal is also one of those places in Europe that's extremely beautiful, but just a little bit less known and way more affordable. So mm-hmm. I'm excited to be a little bit off the beaten path, because the idea of like going to Italy in high season just sort of, I mean, it still sounds fun, but it also sounds kind of hectic.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we found out that the Olympics are in Paris like a few weeks before that.
Oh,
crazy.
Yeah.
So yeah, if I'm looking now in the back pages of this, if enough people don't sign up by May 23rd, then the trip is off. So hopefully enough people will sign up by May 23rd.
Yeah. I hope everyone knows that if they have questions, like literally they can email you directly and you will talk to them and like help them understand more about whether it sounds like a good idea for them or whatever. I know you chatted with quite a few of the other ladies before they signed up because they just had some questions and concerns and you were able to answer them.
Yeah. I mean, it took me a while to figure out how this all works, you know, working with a third party planner with Trova Trip. And so I totally see why people would have questions. Although the landing page, the link that will be in the show notes, does, I think, pretty thoroughly cover almost everything, including the itinerary, you know, so I'm not going to read all that out loud because not everyone's going to want to hear that, but it does talk about what we're doing every day and where we stay and how it all works.
Can't wait to eat that seafood and swim in the ocean and just chill out with some cool ladies.
I know. And I mean, maybe men too. It's
or
not
men, or men. Yeah.
Something like 99% of my audience is women. And so it happened to be all women last time. And yeah,
it would be cool if some men came or if some like a woman wanted to come with her boyfriend or husband or whatever. That would be cool too.
Yeah, absolutely. I've never swum in Mediterranean waters. And I'm also just like so into this architecture. This like Venetian castle architecture is just such a dream come true.
Mm. Yeah, that's going to be real medicine for our eyes that are just so used to dreary post-World War II architecture here in America. It's just so ugly. And there's even a term for it, like brutalism, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's one of the terms for it, but
doesn't brutalism refer to like concrete buildings?
Yeah. And we have a lot of those. Yeah, like, you know, look at, say, you know, the IRS building in San Francisco, that's a good example of it.
I do not, but would probably be flying out of San Francisco for this trip. So maybe we can take a detour.
But past the IRS. Hey guys, how's it going?
Yeah. So, and there's of course photos of like all the places that we'll be going on the website
where you can book if you would like to, and a couple photos from our Costa Rica trip too.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I'm already there in my mind.
Yeah, I just noticed the time. That's what happens when you're talking to one of your best friends.
Okay, yeah, we should let everybody get back to maybe meal prepping, resting, taking a healthy walk.
Our kids will be home from nature school soon too.
Cool. Okay, well, thanks, Amber. This was super duper fun.
Thank you. I love you. I'm glad our healing journeys have come to better places, and we'll check in again in a year to see where
next year we're going to be skinny. Next year we're going to be skinny. Okay.
I don't know. Okay. We've talked about this a lot too. Like,
yeah,
you know, we're comfortable with the word fat. Like, we are overweight. Mm-hmm. We are fat. It's okay. I don't,
but we'd like to be at a healthy body size.
A healthy body. I have been skinny. I have been a fucking vegan postpartum nursing mother. I weighed 115 pounds a couple years after my Celia was born.
Yeah. Being skinny does not feel good, actually. And I mean, okay, if you have a lean body type, that's great.
Yeah.
But if you are just skinny because you're depleted and exhausted, that actually, because I have been too, it feels worse than being pleasingly plump.
Oh, yeah.
It honestly feels worse because your body is in such, it's so scared. It's just like, oh God, like a gust of wind could knock me over. You know, it's bad. So yeah.
Yeah. Pleasing. Yeah. Well, even like what my ideal weight was 2 or 3 years ago when I was fasting and I was just like wanting to be at that number. Now I'm like, that was too thin. I know that I should be at least 10 pounds over that. I am a woman. I am, you know, going through perimenopause or like entering that phase of my life. Like I need pleasant plumpness. I need fat on my body.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, you know, our kids and our husbands love it. I mean, I've had like zero complaints from that area. So I'm like, okay, well, that's cool.
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? That like that our lovers, our men don't give a shit. They love us. Our friends love us. No one loves us any less. Like, why is
it true, right?
You cannot escape the cultural conditioning that says you should look a certain way. Or I think too, for me, it's really hard to like realize that it's the aging piece of it as well. Uh-huh. Even if I get back to a healthy weight, I am not going to be as cute as I was ever again. In my
Yeah. You know, okay. I will say one more thing before we let our listeners off the hook here. Since I started painting again, I am excited about getting old now because Grandma Moses, okay. You know her, she's that cool old lady who became like a kick-ass artist in her 80s.
The name is definitely familiar.
Oh my goodness. Everyone needs to Google her. She is epic. Grandma Moses. But I'm like, okay, you know what? Aging, if you age well, if you age vibrantly, those latter half of your life can be so rich and so creative. You can give back. You can make art. I mean, I'm like excited about it right now.
No, I feel the same way about writing. And I think too, that part of why it's felt so important to heal this slowly is so the healing is permanent.
Permanent. Yeah.
And so that I can have a very vital second
half of life. And I'm thinking about like menopause, you know, that's coming up
yes.
over the next 10 years. And I want to be as mineralized and parasympathetic nervous system yeah. state whenever it's appropriate, more than it used to be, as we navigate aging and once past this midlife hump that we're going through right now. Grandma Moses is so cute.
She's an absolutely exceptional human.
My great grandmother started painting china in her 80s, and I have a bunch of her pieces, but she'd never like held a paintbrush before then, you know, and she wow. had a knack for it.
Oh, her china. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Her china painting. Okay. This is so cool. This is so cool. I'm excited.
So maybe like every year, every spring, we'll check in on our healing journeys and our artistic journeys.
Endeavors. Cool.
And I want to see your goat painting next time I come over, and I want some liver pills. Y'all can find Susie's liver pills at
mothersbestliverpills.com.
Okay. I thought so, but I wasn't sure. Mothersbestliverpills.com. We've talked about liver, I think, in your previous two interviews, especially the first one.
I think so.
Many years.
Yeah. Ago. Yeah. I think I'm going to start talking about it more again, but you know, it's one of those, if you know, you know, sort of things.
Right. Maybe we've both kind of been in like business marketing burnout too. Cause I'm like, I can't post anymore about Mythic Medicinals, even though I love them. And now that we've turned on reviews on the website and reviews are coming in, I'm like, oh yeah, these are like really good herbal medicines that we make. I just have lost the energy to promote for the time being.
Yeah. Well, and thankfully I think your business has so much forward momentum that you could kind of let that travel on its own steam for a bit and then come back to it re-energized.
Right. Yeah. Like I said, our income did dip last year, but it is self-sustaining enough that we still live in our house. Okay.
Exactly. Okay. Love you too. Bye.
All right. Bye.
Okay, so Susie and I will be hosting a call for the Croatia Curious on Wednesday, April 10th at 10:30 a.m. Pacific time. I'll have the link to register below in the show notes. First will be the link to learn all about this trip. Second will be the link to register for this Zoom call. And if you can't make it, then we will send you the recording afterwards, but only if you register. Can't send you the recording without your email. But we would love to have you there live to talk about the 2024 Medicine Stories Retreat and maybe some other things too. Also, since recording the intro, it has been decided that Susie will offer a 10% off discount for her Mother's Best Liver Pills over for patrons at patreon.com/medicinestories. So head there if you want a 10% off coupon code for liver pills and to check out my audio recording all about thyroid. All right, until next time.